Hello everyone, welcome back. This is Chander in Palo Alto.
And hello, this is Arne in Oslo.
So you're listening to Veli Nordic, a podcast that provides global perspectives on technology, business, and culture. Thanks for joining us. Today's topic is the US government's lawsuit against Google, which is a company whose products I think we all use multiple times a day. And they have been preparing for this lawsuit for, I don't know how many years, but for a while. So it's interesting that it was filed, I think, on Tuesday. So it's Department of Justice that's filed the suit, and the expectation is the state attorney generals will follow. Another interesting thing to note is, you know, both FTC and DOJ were pursuing, and somehow, I don't know the details, why DOJ is going after them and not FTC. So the investigation both departments were doing was against big tech, not just against Google. So Apple, Facebook, Amazon are also being investigated. Do you know, Arne, why DOJ went after them and not FTC?
No, I don't know. I mean, you could speculate about a number of things, why, who is doing what. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that you mentioned was that states might follow suit. Mm-hmm. There are, in fact, 11 states that have followed suit already. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so obviously, you know, there, you know, you would suspect that there could be political reasons for doing this. You know, it might be that the DOJ is more trigger happy, and I think the traditional view of it would be that you wouldn't raise something like this this close to an election under normal circumstances. And whilst I think there are possibly, you know, real merits to this case, I think it is a little bit telling that the 11 states that are following suit all have Republican attorney generals.
Oh, wow.
So I think there is definitely a political angle to this. The question is, of course, how big is that and how much is, you know, on merit here.
Mm-hmm. I think what I read was the heart of the suit is that Apple makes Google a default search engine on their browser.
Yeah, so I think the main allegation is unlawfully maintaining monopolies in markets for general search services such as advertising, general search text advertising in the United States. So I think it's, you know, it's not just being a monopoly, but sort of having actively pursued becoming a monopoly by unfair practices. And those the prime examples of unfair practices are essentially that they are paying a number of partners a lot of money to be the default search engine. And I guess they pay most money to Apple because it's the biggest distribution platform, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's also payments to others to be the default search engine. So essentially using the money made by being in a leading position to further strengthen that, and that is an unfair practice. That's like the main carrying point of the suit, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, you're right. That is the main argument. So when you read about TAC, that in Google's 10K or in the industry articles, that's traffic acquisition cost. So that's the money Google pays out to others when they, you know, to get the traffic. So what they pay to Apple so that Apple uses Google search is part of the traffic acquisition cost. And nobody knows exactly how much Google is paying Apple, but it's in the $8, $10 billion range, or that's the estimate the analysts have.
Yeah, they're certainly paying billions of dollars for this.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
And the other angle is that in the phones that Google is present on, you know, Android, which is technically an open source, but when people use that, they make Google search as default and all the other Google services as default. That's the other complaint, that the competition cannot get into those devices because the contracts make them, the contract Google signs with the hardware providers doesn't allow that.
Yeah, so this is true, but to me, that seems to be less central to this lawsuit. It seems that it's the search monopoly as such that is sort of the main carrying argument. The Android argument has been put forward quite strongly by the European Union. And actually, Google was fined $5 billion less than a year ago for the Android, for, you know, abusive practices around Android.
Mm. I think they were also fined some other $1 billion because they were prioritizing their search results. I mean, products and services that belong to them in like Google Shops versus, you know, competitors. I don't know if, I think they appealed those decisions. They haven't paid. Or I don't know. You may know more since you're in New York.
Yeah, I was under the impression that they've actually paid up in the European case, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
But they apparently have had multiple issues. One around Google Shopping, and one over search ad brokering. But the big one was Android dominance. So I think there's like a, you know, up to $10 billion in Europe in multiple suits by the European Union.
Hmm. Yeah, so no. we can look it up and post it in the notes if they're paid or not, but that's besides the point. So interesting.
Well, typically what happens is that these things, you know, get to be very drawn out cases where, you know, the it's litigated and it's appealed and it's negotiated and ultimately in some cases settled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of things, people who are not as much into tech or who are not in the US. FTC is Federal Trade Commission and DOJ is Department of Justice. So they are responsible for making sure that, you know, the dominance of the company, they're not engaging in monopolistic or anti-competitive behavior, and the consumers are not paying high prices because of their market power. So there it's tricky because, you know, the services they offer to consumers are free. So Google search is free, Maps, YouTube, etc. Everything's free. What they make money from ads. So, you know, what is the harm? Because people like the services, they do have the best product in the market. So people use that. I think that's Google's argument. People have a choice. So the harm, I think, what I remember from the European lawsuit was, you know, they make the advertisers use their tools and don't really give them, that's where they're using their monopolistic power, because if you want to advertise on Google, they can charge high prices, make you use their tools, it's auction system, et cetera, et cetera. So they aren't it's not fair to businesses. It wasn't about being fair to consumers.
Or I think it's not fair primarily to competitors, secondarily businesses. And then I guess there is an argument that the second order effect is that over the long term, consumers would benefit by having other choices. But I think the sort of the primary issue is competitors and businesses.
Yeah. And the other argument I read in this, the current lawsuit, is because they have so much power and they buy younger startups, it's stopping new Googles to develop. So I don't know how.
Yeah,
I buy into that because, you know, nobody forces you to sell a startup. You can keep on competing and, you know, become, you know, very big, like Facebook did, which came after Google. Uber, Lyft, all these companies came after, and they, you know, have become very big.
I guess if you center around search, the main competitor for many, many years has been Microsoft.
Yeah.
So I guess the biggest loser in this context have been Microsoft. Now, of course, Microsoft is famously the one that FTC and the DOJ went after for about 10 years. For the same practices.
Yeah, it's funny. Google actually sued Microsoft because Microsoft had Internet Explorer as their default browser in, you know, Windows operating system. And now Google is doing exactly the same thing, you know, in their Android operating system. The Chrome browser is a default browser and Google search is the default search. I mean, you know, common business practices that you want to maximize your market share, profit, revenue, distribution, etc. If you are doing it, it seems fair. If somebody else is doing it and you want a bigger market share, then it doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, I think, you know, the practices that Google has employed, if that was done by a non-dominant player, it certainly would not, they would definitely not be sued, because the practices are quite normal business practices, if you can. But of course, it's the market power already existing that makes it questionable.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the practices are a function of market position. You can't really deploy those practices if you don't have dominance.
Well, but I mean, Microsoft, where they're Bing search engine, mm-hmm. have been paying a lot of players to make that a default, or have tried to do so over the years. Mm-hmm. And you can argue that the product hasn't been good enough, and others will say it's more than good enough. But the point is, it hasn't succeeded. And because Microsoft does not lack cash, and they've employed the same practices, they just haven't succeeded. And because they are unsuccessful and less dominant in this market, the practices that are exactly the same have not been illegal.
Yeah, okay, I see your point. Yeah, it's, but there, the point, in a similar way what you're making, what Google made the point was, like in a grocery store, companies pay, the CPG companies, consumer packaged good companies, pay the retailer to display their product at the eye level. And they pay a stocking fee, shelving fee, et cetera. So how is this any different that, you know, Google is paying Apple? to be the default. So what they are claiming is what they do is, you know, common practice in business. So that, I think that's what your example said as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think the problem, though, with the CPG example is that I think if, say, Procter & Gamble pays for shelf space, that is absolutely normal practice. Mm-hmm. And it's practice, the normal practice is also to pay more to get a better position or more of the shelf or whatever. Yeah. That is quite normal practice. But I think if Procter & Gamble paid Walmart, for argument's sake, mm-hmm. to stock only their products and block the other ones out, that would be illegal.
I don't know if it is or not, but that's not the issue with Apple. You have options of other search engines. You can change it to Bing or DuckDuckGo.
I agree.
Yeah. So let me share some numbers so people get the idea of the dominance of Google. I still get the physical newspaper. I think I'm one of the few people in America who still gets a physical paper. So I'm reading them from the Wall Street Journal. So in search, they have 92% of market share in terms of worldwide search traffic. 92%. And they don't operate in China. So that's including China. Then in digital ads, they have 40% market share in terms of that the ads are purchased on Google platform. And then 50% market share where the ads are sold on Google platform. So they have an exchange where both buying and selling occurs. In terms of smartphones, they have 75% market share of smartphones sold worldwide. In maps, they have 70% market share. In video, which is online
YouTube
platform, YouTube mainly, they have 73% market share. In terms of browser, they have 66% market share of worldwide number of browsers installed. In terms of smart speakers, which Arne thinks is a streaming platform, they have 40% market share in the US. In cloud, they are, you know, really small. They have 6% market share. So in both smart speakers and cloud, Amazon is the leader. So that gives you some idea of, you know, in different products they have, what the market shares are.
Mm. But I think you know, the funny thing here is that, you know, obviously they have used pretty aggressive distribution tactics, but they're not unusual, as we talked about before. And I think they're definitely coupled with products that users like, mm-hmm. and are generally very cheap to the consumer, mm-hmm. And with clear network effects. So I think, you know, whilst distribution is obviously very important, I think it's also just a fact that it's good products that consumers like. So I don't think that, you know, if people dislike Google, it's not for this reason, it's for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much support the average consumer has for this case.
Yeah, it's, I think that argument just doesn't fly, as you said. One, it's free to the consumers and they can use other products if they want. So that's why I think they're making other arguments on innovation and other companies and competition to business, etc. But I think it's kind of tricky. On one hand, they say Google because search is excellent or their products are so much better, which I think they are. So I've used, you know, Bing, DuckDuckGo. So I think products are better.
Yeah.
But if you are so confident in your product, then why do you have to pay $10 billion a year to make it default? Look, when you, you know, install things, make it, you know, option. And they see, like, Apple Maps is way worse than Google Maps. But it's default on Apple. And now I think they have, in the US, I don't know, 40s, whatever, huge percentage market share. So it's the power of default. So people are, you know, willing to use a product that is inferior, which is default, because it takes a few extra clicks to install the other one, versus use the best product. So I don't know how they can make the excellence argument while paying, you know, $10 billion or in that range to Apple every year. If the product is so good, why are you paying so much money?
Well, I quite disagree with you on that point, because whilst you might not have a problem changing your default search engine, you can Google how to do it. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of less nifty consumers who don't know how to do that, even if it's simple, and can't figure it out. So the reality is that a lot of people get, you know, inferior search engines installed by malware when they have different things installed on their Mac or Windows laptop. Mm-hmm. And they end up with this search engine they really hate, yet they are stuck with it because they don't know how to change it. And I think it's sort of just an insurance policy that, I mean, it's a good business sense, but they just ensure that their search engine gets in front of as many users as possible, which is good business for them. And in general, consumers are happy when they have the Google search. So I think you can argue that it works for the consumer and it works for the company to pay for this.
Yeah. So, of course, if I'm, you know, running Google, I would do the same. But So you don't have to change it. Let's say when you get a new phone, you get an option of picking a browser. Google, not browser, but search engine. It's Google or DuckDuckGo or Bing or whatever else. So at that point, you don't need to be a sophisticated user or technical person to change. So when you get a new phone, just give people the option. These are the three options. And they may lose some market share. They have so much brand presence that people will still choose Google. But it's not showing confidence in the product that, okay, if you give people other options, will they still choose Google? So if you're so confident in the product, then, you know, let people choose.
I just can't agree with you on this one. I mean, whether you're a producer of a search engine or a consumer good or a consumer electronics or a credit card, You want to have the best distribution possible. Even if you have great faith in your product, you want to get it in front of customers, and you want to do it so smooth that you can't avoid experiencing it. That is just marketing.
Yeah. So I'm saying if I'm Google, I would do the same. So the point I'm making is from the other side. What is the argument against that?
But that's like what's the best, let's say Amex is the best credit card. Then the argument is, if you're Chase or Wells Fargo or whatever, Capital One, you know, Amex should not be allowed to market because their product is too damn good.
No, it's not. That doesn't make sense. when you get a new phone, currently you don't have a choice of picking your default. All I'm saying is if the regulators make it a choice, then the new companies, let's say whoever builds a new search engine, which today if you build a new search engine, you can't really get in. You won't get much market share. But if it's a choice people have to make when they get a new phone, then there is, you know, an option. How do you think Internet Explorer lost its market share? They were dominant. They were the best at the time.
No, they were never the best.
No, you can look at the, you know, data before they were, the browser-wise, not search-wise. Search-wise, Google, I think, was always best. But it was a regulation in Europe, I think, that made people pick when you get a Windows laptop or PC, you had to pick your browser. No, Explorer could not be default. So, and now we have Chrome, Firefox, etc. It's result of that regulation. So if you make the search same way, something people choose, then the ecosystem will create new or might create new competitors. But if I'm running business, I would want these default deals, of course.
Then I see what you're saying. I mean, yeah, if the regulator want to create more competition, mm-hmm. then they should regulate it so that the strongest player cannot market to the best of their ability. And that would be to say, okay, you're simply not allowed to do this because your market power, you have to give the people the option to neutrally choose.
Yeah. And they did that before. Like you saw the example I gave, you know, how we have multiple browsers now, that was a result of regulation. And Google was signing a deal with Yahoo in, I forget what year, in early 2000s on their default search, which FTC or DOJ blocked on this idea that, you know, you will get too big. So they ended up signing with deal with Microsoft, Yahoo, and Microsoft signed a deal on search, which of course didn't work as planned. So it's, I think, a very interesting hard problem on how the product, this is something new, yeah, because it's only in the internet age you have a product that everybody uses and it's free and the company makes money with ads. So as a regulator, your consumers are actually not being harmed by this. Consumers are happy, they like the product. But I think what they're trying to do, or who knows, but logic might be, how can we increase competition in this space that there are more Googles and there are more Facebooks and Twitters and Amazons? Because currently it is harder to be the next Google because of these interlocking platform holes. In the mobile, it's basically Apple and Google. So how do you break through if you are competing directly with them?
Yeah, so two things there. One is your example with choosing the browser mm-hmm. is an interesting one, right? Mm-hmm. Because essentially the settlement or the result of the lawsuit against Microsoft was essentially that they had to stop integrating the browser so tightly with operating system and give people the choice.
Yeah.
And it ended up opening the door for Google Chrome and Mozilla, at least for a while, and so forth, which was, in my mind, actually better products, and that's why they took the market position of Internet Explorer. In my mind, the situation today is, let's say you were given the same choice now, a search, in the same neutral way, if you like. I think the result would be that consumers would pretty much all choose Google, with a few exceptions. I think the people who don't use Google today are a small minority that has malware that's changed the search browse or search setting to something that they didn't intend to, and therefore use that. I think that's a part of the segment not using Google. And then I think there's a small segment that are more privacy oriented and don't want to share data with Google and use DuckDuckGo or something like that. And I think that segment is kind of, I think that's a stronger argument that these people are being hurt by the lack of competition and the lack of privacy you have in the Google ecosystem. And so if Google did not have that strong market position, maybe a more privacy-oriented product would be able to compete on a more even keel. But the network effects work against them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a dynamic system. Maybe there's another startup we don't know of that's building some, you know, GPT-3-based or NLP-based search engine that is better than Google. How will they get any surface if with these interlocking agreements?
Yeah.
So that's also, I think Bing is used by all Microsoft employees by force. So that's their market share. then you know, China is Baidu. It's DuckDuckGo. I think I said DuckGoGo. It's DuckDuckGo. Yeah. So there is a lot of this, you know, stuff. You have to spend money in marketing. Like today, if they make it not default, I think most people will still choose Google because of the brand and the experience. It works. So why would I try something new unless there's some, my friend told me, or there's some other reason. But that was the argument I was trying to make earlier. Like, they're paying $10 billion a year to Apple. If the product is so good, then, you know, have them make it not default. But I think they know that people are lazy. So whatever is default, people tend to use that more if it's good enough. Like Apple Maps is now probably has more market share on iOS than Google Maps, mainly because it's default. Okay. So other thing I want to touch here is these types of cases take around 10 years. Like by the time the DOJ and Microsoft case, you know, they came to any conclusion, the market had changed. I think in 10 years, the market might change again by the time they decide on it.
Yeah, so I think this is also an interesting point, right? Because the history of these sorts of cases back in the day, you know, had massive impact on the companies. So think of the breakup of Bell, or these sorts of things. It essentially changed the landscape of the industry. That was the thing back when. And then the Microsoft scenario changed everything. The dynamics, just like you said, had changed by the time the settlement was done. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, since from the day the case started till it ended, Microsoft's share value has gone up 12x while being under investigated and not being broken up, and that was despite there being a .com bust in there. So essentially it had no impact on Microsoft whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what does the market tell you, this case came out on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And the share price of Google when it came out dropped by about 1%. And it's now trading higher than it was a week ago. So essentially the stock market says, who cares about this?
Yeah, or you can say it's priced in. Like they say, yeah, it may slow things down, but won't have any fundamental impact. And 10 years, company will spend more money on lawyers, etc. but eventually they'll get out of it because they believe the case is not strong enough. They're most likely there'll be a settlement. That's why you see Google this year is up, I think, less than 20%, while all Apple and Amazon are up, I don't know, 50-60%.
But that is also, I don't think it's that easy. I think, you know, whether it's that the market says it has no impact or whether it was already priced in, I think both of those arguments are valid. I think the reason why Google has risen less than the others is essentially that it's more impacted by COVID. A lot of the revenues for Google are in sectors that are like travel and so forth. You know, travel advertising is a huge income source for Google, and essentially it's dead. So I think it's actually more to do with the performance of the company than that the market thinks that Google is more exposed to these sorts of political risks or regulatory risks, if you like. And I believe that, you know, I think the puzzling thing is now why do they bring this particular case against Google at this time and it being exactly what it is? That said, I think all of the big tech companies are in some sort of hot water with public opinion and politicians. And I guess the question is just, this, you know, will the DOJ come after Amazon or Apple next week? Is it just the first, or Facebook, is it just the first of all the cases? Or will there be other cases in different settings around, you know, moderation of hate speech and bias and all of these other things that are even more political that will pop up, and who's going to be hit? I think the tech clash, as it's called, is a big trend, and I think there will be multiple cases on multiple fronts against all of the tech giants, essentially.
Yeah, so it is, you're right. My understanding is the first one. They have been investigating these four companies, Amazon, Apple, Google, and Facebook, for years now. Last year, or maybe earlier this year, I attended it wasn't really a conference, some kind of get together with DOJ and Stanford law professors and the, you know, industry leaders in tech on this specific issue. I'll see if I can find, they recorded it, so I'll see if I can post a link in the show notes. So they were discussing all these things back then. So I think they'll bring more lawsuits. I'm not sure why they chose to bring it against Google first.
Yes, but, you know, this one is sort of a business and monopoly issue. And I think, you know, the same case could be made against, you know, we talked about in one of the other episodes about the practices around the App Store and so forth and Epic Games for, you know, so there are sort of anti-competitive elements that you could foresee being cases for all the other companies. I think also the issue is that, you know, in a political environment in the US today is highly charged, and neither the Republicans or the Democrats like big tech anymore because of, the Republicans saying they're all biased and against them, and the Democrats saying, well, why aren't you clamping down on, you know, hate speech and conspiracy theories and all sorts of things being propagated on these platforms. And I think the different companies we're talking about are exposed in different ways to these things. And it's kind of like pick which one is coming depending on timing and who's in charge of these things.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see how things end and what I think there's a Senate hearing on next week with the with Google and other tech executives, so that'll be an interesting show to watch.
Yeah.
So I think this was interesting discussion. Thanks, Arne. But before we end, I want to tell our audience that Quibi is officially closing down, as we predicted, I don't know, 6 months ago or around that time. So I wanted to share that news and show that, oh, our podcast can sometimes tell you about the future.
Yeah. Fortunately, this does not mean, you know, this was a privately held company, so you couldn't trade in it, and we don't want to be liable for you making wrong investments simply because we speculate. But I think we were both pretty bearish on this particular company.
Yeah, and this is, you know, our podcast is a conversation. It's not advice or for you to do any trading, and even the opinions are our personal opinions, not of our employers or any other organizations we belong to.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.